Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. My name is Nicholas, and we're going through the book of Leviticus. We're in chapter 18, and where are we? Where did we leave off? Defile yourself. Okay, we were talking about all of the things that the nations did before them. For all of these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. So he's talking about the practices of the nations and all of these sins, sexual immorality, men with men, men with animals, women with animals, incest, killing their children after they're born, inducing abortions and killing their children, offering them to pass through the fire of Molech, of course, the priest there that would perform the abortions or take the children and put them on the fire of Molech, would bless them with the blessings of Molech, that they would have a prosperous life. And of course, how would they get that prosperous life? By putting away the inconvenience of an unwanted child. Yes, so they could do what they wanted to. So Molech could be the god of convenience, or the god of inconvenience, or whatever you wanted. Anyway, you would receive a blessing from the god Molech, and you would have prosperity or whatever. I mean, the reasons are all the same. Or for pride, the reasons are all the same today as they were then. The land, okay, for all these abominations, chapter 18 and verse 26, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. You shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation nor any of the stranger that sojourneth among you. And who is this? We keep hearing about the stranger that sojourneth among you. You know, you could join yourself to the children of Israel. You could become one of them. You would be the stranger who sojourneth among you. So if you became a convert into the faith of the ecclesia, and here, of course, the Hebrew nation was a physical picture or a type of the spiritual ecclesia, but, you know, if a man came in, he was the stranger who dwelt among them, of course, all the males would have to be circumcised to become one of the strangers who sojourned. Because if they sojourned among you, that means you were doing the things that they were doing, that you became one with them. And that's like us today, or it's like the nations, other nations, or the Gentiles who became followers of Yahushua, the Messiah. They joined the ecclesia of the ages, basically. There was not a new church. There was not a new thing being built. But he said, well, on this rock I will build my ecclesia. Well, it was his ecclesia before, too. It was his ecclesia in the garden, or outside the Garden of Eden, I should say. Outside the Garden of Eden, when he met there, when the Lord met there and made the first sacrifice and clothed his first congregants, that is Adam and Eve, with the skins. See, that was the ecclesia then, and we are the ecclesia now. So we are all the strangers who are sojourning in the ecclesia now. We have all joined ourselves to his kingdom. We have all become part of his family. We've all been grafted in or adopted in. But he says, whether any of your own nation or the stranger that sojourneth among you, for all these things. So that applies to us, and we saw that in the blood statutes. And who would say, who amongst the corporate church out there even, and the scribes, Pharisees, and the hypocrites today would venture to say that these statutes do not stand, that we don't have to obey the law in this case either? See, they like to segregate it out. Well, I like this part of the law, and I don't like that part. You know, the law is dead, but, you know, don't touch my stuff, don't sleep with my wife, and keep on tithing. That's the way the corporate church interprets the law, is the law was nailed to the cross. But, we're going to pick and choose what we like and what we want to lay as a burden on you. But he says here, even those that sojourn among you. So that's us. If you've joined yourself to to his holy nation, because it is a holy nation, the kingdom of God is a holy nation. So if we join ourselves, if we are now among that holy nation, then this should apply to us. And we should do these things because we love him, and he gave us his law to tell us what pleases him and to tell us what displeases him. So if we love him and we care about what pleases him and what displeases him, then we want to know these things so we know how to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to him, and we can keep that greatest commandment to love Yahuwah, our God. And he continues on here, for all these abominations have the men in the land done which before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. And we see, just as the children of Israel were instructed to kill every man, woman, and child, and drive the inhabitants out, and totally, utterly destroy the inhabitants of the land, we see the same thing happen to them when they fell into the doings of the people who inhabited the land before them. The land spewed them out too, and the heathen nations came in and drove them out and killed them or took them captive and drove them to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we'll see that soon enough as we go through the scripture here. But they're getting the warning, just as the land is spewing them out. He says, when you defile it, it will spew you out too. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall you keep mine ordinance, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourselves therein. I am Yahuwah, your God. Chapter 19. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahuwah, your God, am holy. You shall fear every man his mother and his father. You shall fear every man his mother and his father. That's one of the commandments, isn't it? To honor your father and mother, to fear them. And what does that mean? That means to fear what will happen to you if you don't obey them. Basically, that's it. I mean, otherwise, what do you fear? What is honor without fear? Honor without fear is nothing. It's kind words, or it's saying nice things after they're dead. That's what people have relegated honor to today. But I'll tell you what, if you engage in a contract and you don't honor your contract, what happens? Well, the provisions of the contract have provisions that spell out what are going to happen if you don't honor it. Say, if you purchase a piece of property by contract from your neighbor and you say, well, I will pay you X amount of dollars every month and I will pay it all off in 10 years. And if I don't, the contract says that you get the property back and you may or may not restore anything to me if I don't honor the contract. So I have to fear losing the property in that contract, and that will keep me honored. Because if I don't fear losing, if I just get to keep the property, whether I pay for it or not, what's going to happen? Well, times could get bad where I don't have the money one month, and I just go, well, I don't have the money this month. And that could become habitual and whatever. You can't take the property anyway because there's no provision in the contract for what happens. But nope, that's not the way it works, does it? So honor your father and your mother, and to fear what will happen to you, because Yahuwah, our God, is holy. So you shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am Yahuwah, your God. Turn you not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am Yahuwah your God. So turn not unto idols. Well, you know, there's a distinction here between turning into idols and making yourselves molten gods. They can be one and the same, but they can be two separate things, can't they? There are a lot of idols out here. There's a lot of idolatry going on in the land where I live. People worship and obey other laws and other gods, you know, small g gods. They have images that they bow down to, but the images only exist in their mind. But many, many people believe in the images and obey the image, and obedience and worship are the same thing. That's why he says, you shall keep my statutes. You shall keep my judgments. You're not to bow down to idols and images, and not to make yourself molten gods. I am Yahuwah your God. And if you offer a sacrifice, a peace offering unto Yahuwah, you shall offer it at your own will. And we discussed that before, that all offerings and all the sacrifice were to be done willing. No one was being coerced. There was no one going around with your name on a list saying you didn't do it this year, that you have to do it. It's all voluntary. Our Heavenly Father is not a tyrant. In his kingdom, he does not force anyone, and that is evident by what he allows men to do. He does not force people to keep his law. He does not force people to worship him and to love him. He is looking for volunteers to enter his kingdom. So when we voluntarily decide that when we have a true desire of our heart to please him, that's when we enter his kingdom. And that desire becomes evident, because then we start doing the works. We start doing the things that please him. Doesn't mean we become perfect overnight, but it means that we have a desire, and the desire will change our life, because we repent of the things that displease him, and to replace those things that displease him, we look for the things that do please him, and those are the good works which he before ordained that we might walk in them. 19 verse 6, it shall be eaten the same day you offer it and on the morrow, and if aught remain on the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable, it shall not be accepted. And a lot of that has to do with cleanliness too. They didn't have refrigerators. So if you prepared a sacrifice, you ate it on that day, you could eat it on the next day, but on the third day it was to be burnt in the fire. Therefore everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of Yahuwah, and that so shall be cut off among his people. So, and another thing that would do is if you made a peace offering, you would make sure that you had plenty of people there to share in that thing with you, in that feast with you, in that offering, and that so that there was nothing left on the third day to be burnt in the fire. So you see another benefit there. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean the vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am Yahuwah your God. So I guess the rule was you'd go into, but you'd leave the fruit around the fringes and on the corners of your property, and you would go in and take the heart, and then you would not go back through again to see what you missed. That was for the poor and for the beasts. He says, thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shall thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am Yahuwah your God. You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall you profane the name of thy God. I am Yahuwah. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him of the wages of him that is hired. Shall not abide with thee all night until morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. That kind of cruelty is foolishness. but shall fear thy God. I am Yahuwah. It says, I'm the one you shall fear. If you put a stumbling block or curse the deaf, you know, to make fun of the deaf because they can't hear you, or to trip the blind because they can't see you, fear God if you do those things. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. You shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness you shall judge thy neighbor. And here we're repeating a lot of what we were given in Deuteronomy. Was it Deuteronomy? Exodus chapter 20. We haven't got to Deuteronomy yet, but Exodus chapter 20, when he received the tablets of the law, we're getting this is a lot of this is being repeated here, but these are being repeated again as judgments. And they're good things to repeat. Some things are being said a little bit differently. A little more is added in for a greater understanding. We can never get enough understanding of his law, as far as I'm concerned. So this is definitely beneficial to go through again. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, put a stumbling block before the blind. Thou shalt fear thy God. I am Yahuwah. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. You shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness you shall judge thy neighbor. So you're not to favor the poor, you're not to favor the rich or the mighty, but you're supposed to deal in righteousness. In other words, judgment or justice is not for sale in his kingdom. It's unlike the land where I live today, where you can have as much justice as you can afford, and the poor, and the prisons are full of the poor, and most of them, I would venture to say that the majority of the poor have harmed no one, nor broken any law of our Heavenly Father, certainly not anything worthy of having their freedom revoked, but they're put there to, because they don't have money, one, and to enrich those who already have money by bilking the system. And the prison system the prison industry is a huge industry in this land. And everyone that these unrighteous and unjust judges puts in the prison system, well, their prison industry or their ownership interest in it is enriched by everyone that is put in the prison. And they do that by raping the populace at large, who are paying for the prisons and paying for everyone who is in the prison, whether righteously or unrighteously there, so that others are being unrighteously or unjustly enriched by that system. Yes, there are more people per capita in prison in the United States than any other nation on the planet at this time, and people still mouth the words that this is the land of the free, the home of the brave. We live in the greatest and the freest nation on the planet, on earth, and it's all a lie. It's all a mantra that people have been programmed with from their early age. No, this is the greatest police state on the planet. And unless you go along with all of their judgments of their land, you may be thrown into prison because they have codified unrighteousness and made it a requirement to engage in things that are against his law, to do things as simple as travel in a vehicle. And that's how bad it has gotten today. But most people don't have a clue because they just do whatever they're told. They don't consider whether what they're doing is against the law of our Heavenly Father or not. Of course, because they've been taught that the law was nailed to the cross, so they don't have to obey it. They become lawless, or they become worshipers of the image by bowing down and giving their obedience to the image of the beast rather than giving their obedience to the kingdom of Yahuwah and his laws and his statutes and judgment and his kingdom and his king. We'll continue here. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am Yahuwah. So you're not to be a talebearer. You're not to stand against the blood of thy neighbor. And is that, would that be to bear false witness? That is likely what we're talking against here. Thou shalt not hate thine brother in thy heart. And we see here what Yahushua said. He said, you have heard, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, whoever hates his brother without a cause is a murderer already. People say that he raised the standard. Well, did he raise the standard? Or did he just know the law? Apparently, he knew the law because we're reading it here in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. So it's saying, now here we're coupling hate thy brother in thy heart or your neighbor, that you're supposed to rebuke your neighbor and not suffer any sin upon him. So if you see your neighbor engaging anything that is unlawful, that you're to straighten him out. You're to rebuke him. And this is called loving your neighbor or not hating your neighbor. So if you don't do it, you hate your neighbor. If you don't rebuke your neighbor for his sin, then you are hating him. Basically, that's what it's saying. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear a grudge against the children of thy people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahuwah. See, now everybody, this is what Yahushua, Jesus, as they call him today, this is what he taught. He taught the law of God. He taught his law. He did not bring a new thing. Shall not avenge or bear a grudge against any of the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Yahuwah. And as Yahushua said, he said that on these two hang the law and the prophets. He says to love God and to love your neighbors yourself. And what that means is that this is the reason he gave us the law. We can't nail it to the cross. We can't do away with it. Because this is the instruction he gave us to teach us how to love him and to love our neighbor as ourself. He continues here in verse 19, you shall keep my statutes. You shall not let thy cattle engender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed, neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come from thee. And we'll pick up here next time. We've just run out of time. This is Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. Visit my website. I'd like to hear from you. You'll find a link there to email me, crosstheborder.org.